One minute. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, Text 42. Kim Durapadanam Tesham Pumsam Udama Chetasam Yair Ashritas Tirtha Padash Charano Vyasanatyaya. Kim Durapadanam Tesham Pum Samudama Chetasam Yarashritas Tirtha Padash Charanovyasanatyaya. Kim Durapadanam Tesham Pum Samudama Chetasam Yairashritas Tirtha Padash Charano Vyasanatyaya. Kim Durapadanam Tesham Pum Samudama Chetasam Yairashritas Tirtha Padash Charano Vyasanatyaya. Matajas. Kim, what? Durapadanam. Difficult to achieve. Tesham. For those. Pumsam. Men. Udama Chetasam, who are determined, yai, by whom, Ashrita, taken refuge, Tirthapada, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Charana, feet, Vyasana Atyaya, which vanquish dangers. Translation. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet? His feet are the source of sacred rivers like the Ganges, which put an end to the dangers of mundane life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The words Yayar Ashritas Tirtha Padash Charana are significant here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Tirtha Pada. The Ganges is called a sacred river because it emanates from the toe of Vishnu. The Ganges is meant to eradicate all the material distresses of the conditioned souls. For any living entity, therefore, who has taken shelter of the holy lotus feet of the Lord, nothing is impossible. Kardama Muni is special, not because he was a great mystic, but because he was a great devotee. Therefore it is said here that for a great devotee like Kardama Muni, nothing is impossible. Although yogis can perform feats, as Kardama has already displayed, Kardama was more than a yogi because he was a great devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he was more glorious than an ordinary yogi. As it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, out of the many yogis, he who is a devotee of the Lord is first class. For a person like Kardama Muni, there is no question of being conditioned. He was already a liberated soul and better than the demigods, who are also conditioned. Although he was enjoying with his wife and many other women, he was above material, conditional life. Therefore the word Vyasanat Yaya is used to indicate that he was beyond the position of a conditioned soul. He was transcendental to all material limitations. All right. Kimdura padnam tesham pumsam uddama chetasam yar ashritas tirtha padash charano vyasanatyaya. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet? His feet are the source of sacred rivers like the Ganges, which put an end to the dangers of mundane life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastichyade Shatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Excuse me. Yes, so yesterday we read the previous verse. And it was talking about how Kardama Muni was, through his mystical powers specifically, his yogic powers, was able to travel, or having manifested this extraordinary, super extraordinary aerial mansion, which would fly interplanetarily. So he manifested that, and then he flew it. He flew it all around the universe. And as Prabhupada says here, Kardama Muni, by his yogic power, could surpass the strength of the demigods and travel in space in all directions. So, that was yesterday. The point was his yogic power, particularly in being able to manipulate and direct this most incredible creation of his, this aerial mansion, something completely beyond our experience altogether. So, but now in this verse today, the fact that he can do fantastic things or impossible things for even demigods, that's also being mentioned here. It's there as part of the essence of the verse and the purport. But the point now is that he's able to do these things not simply as a yogi. He was more than a yogi. He was a great devotee of the Lord. And when a person becomes a great devotee of the Lord, then they can do even more fantastic things by the will of the Lord, if the Lord desires. If the Lord desires, they can do things even more fantastic than a yogi or someone with the powers, yogic, mystical powers that Kardama had. So that's it's a very interesting and very important point. There are some devotees, let me put it that way, there are a few devotees I've met who, prior to being devotees, had some small, but some, mystical powers. Yes. I don't know if you've met any. Yes, small, but some, mystical powers. But then they became devotees, and they lost them. Really? I've discussed it at some length, on a few occasions, actually. And even they tried to sort of get them back, but they wouldn't come back. At least so far, they haven't come back, it seems. It's interesting. So, the will of the Lord is a very important consideration. Or, you know, it's even more than very important. It's just totally essential. It's the crucial, critical point. But the bottom line, the basic point here is that by the mercy of the Lord, through being a great devotee, the great devotees can sometimes do very amazing things. Mystical things, even you could say ordinary things, but just different things they can do which are superhuman. Yes, superhuman, and usually they're very glorious and wonderful. And that's a very important part and an extremely interesting part of the natures and just who and what great devotees are. So this is the point here. that if you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, those feet have so much power. And if you're under their shelter, and if you're really tuned in to them, and if the Lord is kind, then those potencies of the lotus, those lotus feet, you'll be empowered by some of them. And then you'll be able to do some things too, beyond belief. You know, obviously a case in point, and for us the main case in point, and it's a very vivid case, is Srila Prabhupada himself, who, you know, there were some mystical events. In one sense, the whole of his preaching program, from Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, in one sense you could say that everything he did from the time he came as a preacher to the Western world, everything was mystical, or there was at least a strong mystical element always, or at least regularly, there in what he was doing. But whether you say mystical, or even something which isn't exactly mystical, but just something, some activity, which has great potency and produces great results, the mercy of the Lord is the crucial, critical thing, and the thing which makes the difference. And Srila Prabhupada is such an amazing example of that. Even Srila Prabhupada himself put it one time that what if someone opened a shop on the main street or in some, you know, very central place where everyone goes. So it's extremely public and just obvious that the place is there. So the person opens a shop in such a place and then offers, what do they offer in the shop? What they offer, what the person offers is, come in, give me your life. Give me your life. And I will give you nothing. And how many customers are you going to get? Well, you know, you would think you would get nothing. You'd get no customers at all, and you'd go out of business immediately. But Prabhupada was saying that this is what he was doing. He was opening up, trying to open centers in prominent public places, very visible places, and tell people that come and join us, give us your life, live with us. I mean, particularly talking about devotees living in temples, live with us and work hard for us, and you'll have no like spare time really, and no real holidays, and you'll get paid literally zero. You'll be maintained in a simple type of way, and that's it. That's what Prabhupada did, in fact. And so many people came and joined. And many of them are still there. And all of you sitting here are such cases. Yeah. Even if, you know, there's an interesting example. Srila Prabhupada never did it, but we're told that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he had one disciple who was a householder with children, and therefore he was living in his own place. And he was working for some government institution, I forget the details. either teaching or maybe the post office or, but some government work he was doing. And every month he would receive his salary, and every month he would bring it all, the cash, he'd bring it, the whole lot, and just give it to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would ask him, how much do you need? And he would calculate some amount, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would give him that amount, and the rest would be kept for the service of his movement. What do you think of that? Anyway, we hear of that. In ISKCON we have a kind of different approach. Well, I mean, we have a different approach, but you know, someone, even a householder who's living a simple life and whose heart is really dedicated in the service of Guru and Gauranga, then they will live effectively something like that. And when there's excess money, they will donate it, something like that, or perhaps purchase something for the temple, for the movement, something of that sort. So effectively, it's pretty much the same position. It's definitely not the position that the average householder in material life is in. Let me get as much money as possible. We will spend it on ourselves to enjoy life. And if we get more money, we will spend more on ourselves. So, yes, like this, Srila Prabhupada made this point that effectively this is what he was doing. He came to this world and presented something which, from the material point of view, the average person, I mean the person who joins and who becomes part of the institution, in material terms, you could say that they get nothing. Definitely there's no promise or even suggestion that you may get anything like that you can just freely utilize as you like. So yes, that you come and you surrender your life, and materially there's really nothing much. So Krishna consciousness though is so attractive, and Srila Prabhupada is so attractive and so empowered by that dust, the dust from those lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, that he was able to do it. And even in his physical absence, those who are sort of carrying the dust they received from him and just trying to distribute it, they're also able to do the same thing. Get people to give up so much for pretty much, at least not very much materially, and just work hard for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, they do get something. It is pretty ecstatic, I must say. It's pretty amazing, actually. I mean, it's really amazing, actually, the nectar which is there. So, but anyway, from a certain point of view, it's amazing. It's amazing what devotees can achieve, despite their situations personally being something like that. Very, very simple and like that. It's amazing. So therefore, the verse, Shukadev is saying, he is sort of, what would you say, exulting. He's just expressing blissfulness, his wonderful feelings. It's wonderful, it's amazing that what is difficult to achieve for a determined person, a serious devotee who's really taken shelter of the Lord. Oh, there's no limit. Ultimately, there's actually no limit, by the mercy of the Lord, because ultimately you can go back to Godhead and life there is better than the life of the most wealthy, most powerful, most intelligent, most beautiful, most clever, whatever, most materially successful person. Life in Goloka Vrindavan is so far, in terms of being wonderful, so far beyond the lives of the most successful materialists, you cannot even make a real comparison. It's one thing to compare 10 rands to 100 rands, or 10 rands to 1 million rands. At least you can make a comparison. But in this case, you can't make a comparison. The achievement exceeds so greatly the achievements of the most successful materialists that you can't draw a truly meaningful and like accurate type of parallel between them. This verse, actually, it reminded me of another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you bear with me, I'm just going to locate that verse. It's the 10th canto, chapter 1, as I recall. Anyway, let's just see. Krishna. 10th canto, chapter 1, verse 58. I think, let's just check. Yes, here it is. It's related, but it's kind of more, it's expanded. Kim dusaham nu sadunam vidusham kim apekshatam kim akaryam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dritatmanam. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? It's nice, isn't it? That's really pretty amazing verse. Pretty amazing verse. So, of course, one example here, what deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character. Well, this is actually referring to Kamsa. This is the first chapter of the 10th canto. And it's all, you know, the beginning of that, the story of the appearance of Lord Krishna and how Kamsa was going to kill Devaki, but Vasudev managed somehow to convince him not to. So in that context of Kamsa, it's being said, what deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character, like Kamsa? And of course nowadays we, Kamsa's, what, I don't know, what would you say, protégés or followers, or, you know, they may not know it, but people who are like little, very little, but little copies of him, they're trying their best. And what deeds are forbidden for those low people, people of the lowest character? Nothing. They'll do anything. They'll kill their own children. And I shouldn't say it, but eat them. Haribo. What can you say? You know, the lowest character? It's how low can you go there are depths of lowness which we're not even, we can't even conceive, actually. There are depths of lowness within this material world. So, of course, to do such things are forbidden, but the point is that within their minds, they're not forbidden. Within their minds, they are, you know, they're things we can do if we get some advantage. Yes, there are things that we can do, even though they're low. And generally, at least in normal terms, they're forbidden. Even just for ordinary people, they're forbidden. But they're available to people of despicable character. But otherwise, by the mercy of the Lord, what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? Nothing's painful. Even death is not painful. Even death is not painful. Narada Muni was confronted by Valmiki, Valmiki was a great criminal robber. So Narada Muni was confronted by him on some forest pathway in some deserted place. There was no escape. And Narada Muni was told by Valmiki, your money or your life. And Narada Muni kind of casually responded, well, I don't have any money. What to do? And my life, it doesn't really matter because I'm not this body, I'm an eternal spirit soul. So literally you cannot actually take my life. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. And he told Valmiki, you decide. You decide. And Valmiki became astonished. You know, you think I'm not serious? No, I'm sure you're serious. But why? Why do you speak like that? And Valmiki, at least somehow by Krishna's mercy, had enough intelligence to really want to understand, how is it you feel like that? And then Narada Muni was able to preach to him. And, you know, cutting a long story short, Valmiki became a great devotee. Yeah. So it's a very good example of what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth. Prabhupada also said that if a devotee, Prabhupada was in Mumbai, and there was a sort of a war going on for some days between Pakistan and India, something like that. And some Pakistani planes flew over, war planes flew over Bombay. And so the city authorities switched the electricity off. And suddenly everyone was in darkness. And Prabhupada, right at that moment, was being interviewed by a very nationalistic journalist. And suddenly the lights went out, and the journalist said, so, just see what the Pakistanis are doing. It's terrible. And what do you think about it? What if they were to bomb us now? It's terrible, isn't it? And Prabhupada said that if a devotee sees that here comes a bomb, it is going to land on my head, the devotee thinks, here comes Krishna in the form of the bomb to take me to him. Yeah. So what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? Or in other words, the devotees are independent of material circumstances, and they don't have to adhere to the different conditions of material life, of course. And if they adhere, it's not because necessarily they feel they have to. It's for something to do with Krishna consciousness. And then what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna, for those who are fully surrendered at his lotus feet, the point there, or at least a nice part of the point there, is that the devotees who give up everything or whatever for Krishna, those fully surrendered devotees, they find they get a lot more in return. Just so much more that it makes what they have given up for the service of the Lord, it makes what they've given up look like just negligible, totally of no value. As Dhruva Maharaj said after the Lord revealed himself to him and offered that, you want a kingdom? Well, here I am. You know, here we go. You can have a kingdom. But Dhruva Maharaj told the Lord that previously I thought that that the kingdom is extremely valuable, extremely desirable, and just extremely valuable. But now that I've got you, I realize that kingdom, which I thought it was like a big pile of valuable gems with some fantastic amount. I thought that. But now I've got you, I see that the kingdom is just worthless, like a pile, same size pile of just broken colored glass. And what is broken colored glass? It's rubbish. It's simply to be disposed of. And I've mentioned before, maybe some of you remember, one time I visited a place on the east coast of Russia, not far from Japan, called Vladivostok. And there is one beach. It was summer, the devotees took me to a beach. And the beach, on the beach, was broken colored glass. Somehow or other, a ship which had a hole which was full of bottles of different colors got wrecked and got washed up on the beach. And there's just tons and tons and tons of glass, which all got smashed up, got washed up on the beach. And so there we were. It was a multicolored beach. It was interesting. It was mainly green, but it was actually multicolored. All this glass, which had been there, being sort of washed over by the sea for so many years, that there were no sharp edges. And so the people, they just left it there. And there it was. And it reminded me of that incident with Dhruva Maharaj. Just a big pile of broken colored glass. What are you going to do with it? Well, the Russians, who I can tell you, you know, they, if anything can be done with something, they'll do it. They are just incredibly creative people. It's amazing. Yeah. But they decided this is worthless. And they didn't take it to try and do something. They just left it there. So it's like Dhruva Maharaj. It's just a pile of broken colored glass. It's rubbish. It's just rubbish. At best, leave it. At worst, chuck it away and just get rid of it. Yeah. Yes, so, like that. So then, in that same sort of line then, the verse that we're looking at today is saying that for someone who's surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's really taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what is difficult for them to achieve by the mercy of the Lord? And this applies to all of us, actually. Here we are in Krishna consciousness. And the verse does say, Srila Prabhupada translates that, what is it now? Udama Chetasam means people who are determined, not just some lazies. As Prabhupada would say, in Krishna consciousness there's no place for lazies or crazies. So, but for determined people, serious people, who have taken shelter of the Lord and who understand the value of that and what you should do now you've got that, for them, for those serious devotees who with real determination try to engage in the process of devotional service, then they can achieve many things. They can achieve almost anything, actually. There is no limit. Ultimately, there's actually no limit, because Lord Krishna is completely in control of every atom of the creation. And if he feels that he wants to give even the whole world to a devotee or some devotees, he can actually do it. So, yes. So therefore for ourselves, though, the thing is that we should understand that what are we doing here? Well, we're here to cultivate our own Krishna consciousness, of course. We have to be Krishna conscious. And in order to do that, you have to chant your rounds. And you have to follow the principles. You have to read the books. These types of personal cultivation have to be there. But then beyond that, we have to try to do something of some real substance in service to the Lord. We have to do that. We have received so much. We have received everything. So only an ungrateful person, a truly ungrateful person, if they get some amazing gift from some very nice person, they will feel, we must reciprocate. How can we not reciprocate? How can we just say, oh, okay, I've got it now? Or even, thanks. Thanks a lot. Mm-mm. Yeah, a decent person will feel that I must reciprocate. So that's our position. That's part of our position. It really is a vital part of our position, that we've been given so much by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, and we have to cultivate our Krishna consciousness and take care of our Krishna consciousness, but ultimately and at the same time we also have to strive to serve, to reciprocate by serving as we are requested to serve, which basically means to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And then one will see that one can do so much. If one doesn't try, if one doesn't make that determined effort, one will not do much. And anyways, that will be that. But if one is determined and really tries, just like the devotees found when book distribution was really just starting, and nobody had really distributed many books, and even devotees, we had these big Krishna books, bigger. It's like an A4, like a magazine size of format, but it's a big, like 300 or 400 page book, distributing those on the street. And the devotees looked at them and thought, you know, distribute these on the street? What are you talking about? But then some devotees, they were returning from Harinam, and they distributed some back to Godheads, maybe 10. It was a big day. But then the vehicle was running out of petrol. They pulled into a station and they realized they didn't have enough money, as I recall. Or maybe just one of the devotees got inspired and he offered the petrol attendant a book instead of paying the money. And the man accepted it. And it was like, wow, this is revolutionary. People, that he's going to pay for the petrol for us, and he's taken a book instead of us paying ourselves. Wow, people will accept these books. That's amazing. And then it started. And then devotees, sometimes they do 10 books in a day. Someone did 20. Wow, 20 in a day. Are you serious? Or did you give them away? And then finally, one marathon, one devotee, I remember it happening. It happened in America, we were in England. One devotee, his name was Sarvabhauma Das. During the marathon, maybe the last day of the Christmas Eve or something, he distributed 128 big books on the street. And it was just like, you know, totally unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. Because we limit ourselves by our own misconceptions, actually. We feel we're intelligent. That's the first thing. It's intelligent to realize that you think you're intelligent. But it is actually intelligent not to take it too seriously. Because what you can conceive of and what you can sort of kind of organize within your mind through your intelligence is not the limit to what can be done by the grace of the Lord. Although we may think that yes, we can do so much or do that, actually we can do a lot more. We may think, well, we've calculated, we worked out, we can do this or that, but actually we can do a lot more because we're dependent. It's coming from the mercy of the Lord, empowerment by the mercy of the Lord. Yes, so there you go, devotees. Some thoughts on the subject. Let me just read the verse again. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet? His feet are the source of sacred rivers like the Ganges, which put an end to the dangers of mundane life. Prabhupada says the Ganges touched a toe, just a toe of the Supreme Lord, but it can put an end to the dangers of mundane life. So what to speak of those who are directly under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and being empowered like that. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question, Maharaj? Prabhupada definitely had mystic power. Yeah. the way he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world.
Beyond anyone's imagination.
Absolutely. And the people that, you know, Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya and company were preaching to, they were much more open to these ideas. They, in fact, they were very familiar. Huh? Yes, they were so open. They were like sitting ducks for being preached to if someone had some shakti.
Within short time, Prabhupada wrote so many books here, I don't know how to read them.
Right.
They had to understand how he wrote so many books.
Yeah.
To work toward translation.
Yes, Prabhupada. Unbelievable, actually. Hare Krishna. Any other point? I'm just changing over Instagram, just about finished.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
But everyone mentioned about you, some devotees who tried to find devotees as some mystic power.
Right.
And when they became devotees, they lost it all.
Yes.
I was thinking of the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Tori Krishna. Bhukti Bhukti Sikhami Sakari Ashanta.
Right.
The devotees are always peaceful because they have no material desires. Those desiring bhukti, material wealth, bhukti liberation, those who want cities like the yogis want to.
Right.
Power.
Right. Right.
Those who want material sense gratification, they have peaceful choices.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I think Krishna saved them from having mystical powers, because it can be a whole. It can be what, such a huge thing. Yeah. Thank you. As usual.
You take your Prabhupada's achievements to be somehow empowered in the city. How is that different or similar to the empowerment by the Supreme Lord? For example, like you take the city power to be some kind of a magical ability, reaching other.
You mean of a devote, in the case of a devotee, or Prabhupada?
Like in the case of Prabhupada, it seems in a sense to say it's a mystical power, it's like kind of diminishing in a sense.
Okay, okay. That's a good point. We lost our translator too. Don't ask me what happened to him. Anyway, that's a good point. If we say that Prabhupada had mystical power and therefore he was able to do X, Y, and just spread Krishna consciousness, it may be diminishing his status as a devotee. But the thing is, what we're saying, I mean, I hope the way I put it didn't make it sound like he just had mystical powers and, you know, therefore, because of the mystical powers, therefore he was so capable or so successful. But it was all, in the case of the devotees, even when they have mystical powers, it's not so much a question of the mystical powers, it's all just part of the empowerment from the Lord, and which means the receiving the mercy of the Lord. That's the way we see it. Not like, wow, mystical power. Yes. So therefore we can appreciate that because Prabhupada was such a great devotee, therefore Krishna enabled him and empowered him to do things which were some things which were actually, you would have to say it's just mystical, and some things which are like super special material things, you could say, kind of worldly type things. But it's all because of his great devotion that the Lord empowered him more than he's empowering me, I can tell you that, my Lord. And more than he's empowering all of us put together, actually. So therefore, as devotees, we see it in those terms, and we celebrate whatever the superhuman capabilities of Srila Prabhupada were, we see them as being there, sort of like manifestations of his devotion, and therefore it's inspiring and not, it's inspiring and it's not like something other than Krishna consciousness. It's inspiring in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? I'm sorry, I'm sort of slightly caught up here. Another translator has come on. The other one. These things happen sometimes. Srup Damodar Prabhu, some words of wisdom? Or okay, a comment. Thank you. That's a very good point. Some people may look at Srila Prabhupada and say that, he had some mystical power, rather than it's because he's such a great devotee. Or like some said from the Gaudiya Math, with all due respect, whatever that may be, they may be due, that, he was a good businessman. He was a very good businessman. Therefore, he was able to organize a movement and in such a way, print the books so money came. So the books just become a medium for getting money. And yeah, that's what it was. And they're trying to negate the fact that whatever Prabhupada did, and whatever expertise or empowerment that he was given by Krishna, it was all based on the fact that he was such a great devotee, such an amazing example of practicing Krishna consciousness, and particularly in this day and age. Yes, so, the thing is, we made the point the other day, in some context, of how when Krishna came to try to negotiate peace with the Kauravas immediately before the battle of Kurukshetra, so Duryodhana just didn't want to talk about it any longer, and he told his soldiers, just arrest him and lock him up, arrest Krishna. But Krishna then showed the universal form, and the soldiers ran and told Duryodhana, but Duryodhana said, no, he's not Vishnu. I mean, the universal form can only be shown by Vishnu or Krishna. He is not Vishnu. He, in his previous life, he did austerities. Now he's got mystical powers. Yeah. So it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I recall, that the non-devotees, even if they make it, even if the Lord, for the non-devotees, even if the Lord does something just too totally superhuman, but they'll find a way of saying no, no, no. They won't accept that he's the Lord. They'll think of something else. But the devotees, even if the Lord disguises himself, they'll recognize him as the Lord. So the staunch non-devotees who are determined like that, even if the Lord makes it totally obvious he's the Lord, they won't accept, they can't accept. Yeah. But the devotees, yeah, they'll always, as one devotee said, you know, actually, it was Hansadutta who just passed away a matter of days ago or a couple of weeks or something. You know, unfortunately, he wasn't doing well in Krishna consciousness for some number of years, but when he was doing well, he said that in the future, if I meet Prabhupada, I mean, in another lifetime, in another situation, wherever it may be, then if I meet Prabhupada, I'll recognize him. Yeah. You know, even if Prabhupada's, the whole situation is totally different, and maybe Prabhupada's in his, you know, whatever, swarup with Krishna. That feeling, it's a nice feeling, nice feeling. Thank you. Our Rukmini is not here. All right, anyway, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.